Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. A lot of economic chatter today, but we'll make it fun for you. First of all, we have the Bipartisan Debt Commission, which we've kind of lampooned in the past, but they came forth with their recommendations this week, and on Friday, the panel voted, did not get the super 14 out of 18 majority they needed to force a congressional vote on this, but a number of Republicans say they actually endorse it, at least most of it, if not all of it, but they voted for it, one of whom is Oklahoma Senator Tom Coburn, who really, I think, Jim, encapsulated what America's dealing with right now.
The threat isn't coming in 4 or 5 years. It's coming in 1 or 2. We have a Fed that's monetizing our debt, and all our trading partners are reacting to it negatively in the hopes that we can stimulate our economy, when the real problem is we have way too much government and not enough of the thing that made America great, which is independence, personal responsibility, and self-reliance.
Can't imagine encapsulating the issue better. The question, of course, is the details that Congress will actually end up taking on. But it's good to see that at least some Republicans are not just going to kick the debt commission to the side. They're willing to roll up their sleeves and work at this, even though it's not really clear whether any of this is going to come up for a vote anytime soon.
Indeed, and as I just saw on the corner, there's a very, really interesting split between the senators who are on the commission and the House members. 5 of the 6 senators voted for it. 5 of the 6 House members voted against it. And you know, kind of the theory on that is you don't want to vote yes on this thing and then then face the voters within 2 years. You want your next appearance before voters to be as far away as humanly possible. It's good for Republicans that a significant chunk of them voted for it. And for conservatives, you know, picking between Tom Coburn, who voted yes, and Paul Ryan in the House, who voted no, it feels a little bit like mom and dad are fighting. You know, you got two folks who you really like, both taking very principled stands. I think it's good for Republicans that this here, you know, this is Obama's idea, Obama's commission. They came up with a whole bunch of proposals, some of which conservatives aren't going to like, and there are some of which that made heads explode, like that of Paul Krugman of the New York Times.
Right.
And the Republicans are willing to say, you know what, we don't like everything, but we realize this is a serious problem. We'll sign on to it. You read the alternative, like from Jen Schakowsky, the Democrat from Illinois, who was on there. It reads like if you and I were trying to parody liberal budget proposals, it would come up with something like this. Raise income taxes, raise taxes on capital gains, raise taxes on dividends, raise the payroll tax. Oh, and make deeper cuts in defense spending. You know, this commission had some defense spending cuts, but Schakowsky wants even deeper ones. I think most Americans would look at that and say, that's just not realistic. That's just not really getting your head around the problem. And that's basically saying, I want everybody who's not on my side to give up a lot, and I don't want to give up anything that I deem important. And I think that's kind of the exact opposite of it. So to the degree that this can drive a wedge between Barack Obama and congressional Democrats, I think this is actually a very positive development for both fiscal conservatives and for Republicans as a whole.
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting dichotomy between the president, who's pretty much stuck with the recommendations this commission is coming out with, since he's the one to put them together.
Greg, it'll be fascinating to watch him denounce his own commission.
That's certainly true. And your point,
fool put these people on this mission?
No, yeah, no kidding. And your point about the senators voting for it having a little bit of political cover, true. Tom Coburn just reelected, Judd Gregg retiring. So it's not exactly huge acts of political courage, but it's good to see them taking the lead on this. And Coburn, definitely an effective spokesman, although I must say he's got to lose the goatee.
Now he's destined to play Doc in some Western. He just looks like, you know, both being a doctor and just looking like that guy. Also, apparently, he's now been added to the website of men who look like Kenny Rogers.
Well, that's not bad. Hopefully, he doesn't end up going down the same road Kenny did with the plastic surgery, because that would be a shame. On to the bad martini now, and this is just bad all the way around. Job numbers coming in for the month of November that greatly fell below anyone's expectations. Most economists were expecting somewhere around 140,000 jobs for the month of November. It ends up being a net gain of about 39,000. The overall unemployment rate up to 9.8%, the highest in about 7 months. Not coincidentally, perhaps, the president is in Bagram, Afghanistan, as these numbers are released. So what else can he say at this point?
He got the early word and flew to the most dangerous location he possibly could to avoid the scrutiny of this. No, it's fascinating, because those of us in the political realm got used to looking at the unemployment number as a measuring stick for 2010. And, you know, Democrats kept emphasizing, recovery summer, the stimulus worked, look how great things are. And the unemployment rate remained stubbornly at 9.6 these past couple months. There was this sense, and I'm fairly economically pessimistic during these Obama years, but the figures that the worst had passed, and now you'd start to see a very, very gradual improvement. Now we're probably not going to get that gradual improvement. People, I think the one number that really jumps out is the retail number actually went down. And Greg, how bad is it when you're losing retail jobs as you head into the holiday shopping season?
Right.
Just a great indicator of something going the exact opposite direction of what you might expect. And I was hearing a fairly plausible argument that it'll hit 10% again sometime this winter. Seeing the number go up after a year and a half of really lousy numbers is psychologically depressing enough. I think it hits 10% and then you'll start seeing a real psychological tipping point in people's perceptions of Obama's economic management. He'll be down to you. The people who approve of Obama's economic management will probably be able to hold their meetings in phone booths pretty soon.
Pretty soon is exactly right. Republicans are trying to attach this latest report to the tax cut debate. Press release after press release is saying that. It'll be interesting to see, though, with Democrats obviously in control till the end of the year in both chambers, whether that's going to get any traction for them.
Yeah, I mean, if Democrats learn nothing from November, I'm not sure they're going to learn anything from this jobs report. But having said that, you're going to hear this perception of from the usual, I call the usual suspects of talking heads who will say, well, with unemployment rising, Republicans will be pressured to compromise on these issues. In which I'm thinking, really? aren't people going to look at this and say, look, Obama and his team have had many bites at the apple to try to solve this. They tried to solve this with the stimulus. They've tried to do all kinds of stuff. Why would the American people look at rising unemployment and say, please raise taxes. Please make taxes higher. I just don't think that makes that connection. But I think it's probably very reassuring to Democrats to believe that now that Republicans have some modest level of control on Capitol Hill, they're going to be held accountable for high unemployment. How they're going to be held more accountable than the president escapes my ability to grasp that. But these folks would probably say a lot of things escape my grasp.
Well, hopefully this does not result in any additional tax hikes. If anything, though, I think most Americans are certainly recognizing that they voted the right way in November, given the explanations on the economy we're hearing from the Democrats over the past few days. Speaking of Democrats with crazy explanations, let's move on to martini number three. Charlie Rangel, as most folks know by now, easily censured on Thursday, although surprisingly about 150 or so people wanted to reduce it to a reprimand. There was an effort to reduce the punishment, but that failed. And in the end, an overwhelming vote to actually censure Charlie Rangel. A lot of the people defending him, Jim, basically said that there was no official declaration of corruption here, and that if this were the real world, that he really wouldn't face any severe penalties. And so a reporter basically tossing out a softball to Rangel on that got this response about whether or not he got too harsh of a penalty compared to the average citizen.
I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't deal in average American citizens. Citizens are diverse. They're broad. I don't know what is average.
Does anything say out of touch more than I'm not really sure what an average American citizen is?
You know, when I heard his statement, Greg, my first thought was, wow, this did emotionally affect him. He sounds choked up. But then I realized Rangel sounds that way all the time. It's kind of fascinating. The whole point of this was to rebuke him, but he doesn't seem very rebuked. The whole point of this was to shame him, but he seems pretty shameless. If he wants to argue that it's hard to find a private sector equivalent of misusing your office stationery, okay. That might get you a lecture from your boss or something. But in not paying your taxes, maybe you're lucky and the IRS will shrug his shoulders and let you only pay back what you owe with no major fines. But look, there are millions of Americans who have nightmarish experiences with the IRS of underpaying by some, in their minds, some mild amount over an innocent mistake, and then end up having something out of a Kafka novel in dealing with the IRS and these sorts of things. So, and the idea that the guy who runs the Ways and Means Committee, the guy who's in charge of rates of taxation, could be lax in this sort of thing and forget to mention he has properties and areas and forget to mention that he's got rent-controlled apartments. The whole thing just added up to a guy who just had this attitude of the rules not applying to him. And what's kind of fascinating is something, a punishment that he seems to think is draconian and really over the top. Look, in the end, he got yelled at effectively. And not even yelled. I think it was, Nancy Pelosi monotonely reciting the resolution
right.
of censure. In a wrist slapping, at least your wrist actually gets slapped.
Yes, this was just a stern warning. Perhaps a finger wag would have added some more intensity to it, but Nancy didn't manage to muster that either. So,
I shouldn't really be surprised to see Nancy Pelosi rather emotionless in her rebuke. People can fill in the punchline on facial expressions and Botox anywhere they like.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have to leave it there for them. Jim, great to be with you. We'll see you Monday.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See you.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Join us Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.